Okay, so here's a bit of an unusual question to ask you. But what do you think God loves most about what you do? What do you think God loves most about what you do? Maybe you want to think back over this week. What do you think God has loved most about what you've done this week? Okay. I wasn't expecting an answer, but thank you, Glenda. That is wonderful. I did. Yeah, I should have said, shouldn't I? I should know. That's great. You know, and preachers complain when they don't get any response. And then when they do, I'm sorry. You know, we know, don't we, that I hope we know that God loves us because he loves us. Yeah, he just flat out loves you. Because he's made you and you're fearfully and wonderfully made in his own image. And the Bible says that you're the apple of his eye, that before he created anything, he knew about you. And he set his heart racing. He set his affection on you. That I hope you know that he has lovingly planned a purpose and a pathway for you and for your life to do good to you, that he has opened up for you through Jesus. How do we know that God loves us? We've just been celebrating it, haven't we, with the bread and the wine. How do we know that God loves us? Because he gave his only son to die for us. What more could he do to show us how much he loves us? God just flat out loves you with everything in his heart. But so coming back to the question then, what does God love most? And I won't invite any response this time. Thinking back over this week, what do you think God's loved most about what you do? Some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not sure I've done anything really that will have stirred God's heart of love towards me. Maybe you kind of think of a time when you think, well, actually, you know, there was a time this week I really went out of my way for someone. I really went out of my way to serve them or to bless them or to love them. I'm sure maybe God loved that. Maybe there was a, you know, you bought a gift or an offering to someone, or you know, part of our offering here. Maybe you told someone, you're thinking, well, I told someone the other day that I was a Christian. God must have loved that. Of course, I overheard them telling someone else later that they thought I was a religious nut, so I stole their sandwiches, and God probably didn't like that so much. But what do you think God loves about what you do? It's this. God loves obedience. He just loves obedience. He takes delight when we simply do what he asks us to do. And this morning is a change from what we had planned, because we kind of felt, just wanted to share, just looking ahead to the rest of the term and the rest of the year, what God's put on our heart as a church, and just sharing again some vision and some passion for that. And you know, as I've been preparing and thinking this week, you kind of think, okay, we want to bring something that's stirring, something that's exciting, something that will keep people awake Sunday morning. What is it, God, you want us to hear about pursuing you in what you've called us to? Something exciting. I mean, it's going to stir us. And do you know what? I can't get away from this word, obedience. You know, there are many qualities, aren't there, that are prized in the world today. You know, what are the qualities that are prized? Sometimes it's independence. Well, independence is prized. You know, you're your own man, you're your own woman. You can go out and make something happen. Initiative, that's prized. Well, yeah, you can go out and do it. Obedience, not so much. That's not really a prized quality in our world so much, is it? I suppose if you're parents, then that's something that you enjoy and you prize in your children. Maybe we just kind of take that for granted. But I just felt, I just want to try and keep it as simple as possible this morning, that God loves obedience. You know, obedience excites the heart of God. Obedience is not boring to God. Now, what do we prize? We live in a world of the highlight reel, don't we? We want to see the big news, the breaking news, the what's happening, what's new. And that is exciting. But actually, God is just as excited by a heart of obedience. Obedience excites heaven. God loves obedience. Do you know that? Just that. Yeah, he loves it when we take steps of faith, when we're willing to take him at his word and we're gonna go for something new. But, you know, his heart is just as excited when we just choose day by day to continue in what he's called us to and trusting him for that. I was reminded, we're not going to turn to this story, but a story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 15. It's when Saul is king of Israel. It's nearly 400 years after God's people have entered into the promised land. But it continued to be a battle for them. They continued to have neighboring people groups who were a thorn in their side. And one of those was the Amalekites. And God had promised hundreds of years ago to Moses when he was leading the people that he would fight on behalf of the people against the Amalekites. That was a kind of a particular specific promise that he had made, that he would fight on their behalf from generation to generation against the Amalekites. And God told Saul, who was king of Israel at that time, through Samuel, who was God's prophet and priest, he told Samuel to go and tell Saul the king that it's time to go out in battle and to defeat the Amalekites once and for all. And there was only one instruction that God put with that. And he said, when you do that, I want you to not take any plunder from the Amalekites. Because that was the way it worked. When one nation defeated another nation in those days, they would take plunder. They would take the bounty of what the people that they defeated had. They would take it for themselves. But God says, it's time to go out. It's time to defeat these enemies once and for all, but I don't want you to take any of the plunder from them. And so Saul gathers his army together, and they go out in obedience to God, and they defeat the Amalekite army. They win a spectacular victory. But in the aftermath, the army sees these amazing flocks of sheep and herds of cattle that belong to the Amalekites. And Saul, I don't know, maybe he'd been to kind of Canaanite leadership seminars. He would have known, okay, this is the deal. When you win a victory, you take the plunder. That's what you do. That's the spoils of war. You fight hard, and then you party hard on the back of that. Maybe Saul started thinking to himself, well, this is what the people expect. And if I deny them this, then maybe the next time I come and call people to arms, the men to fight, maybe if I deny them the spoils of victory, they're not going to be so keen and eager to answer next time. Maybe Saul's officers came to Saul and said, look at all this plunder here, Saul. It's there for us. So can we take it? You know, the men are asking. This is what normally happens. God had said no. But Saul, everything within him must have been saying, well, that's just what you do. That makes sense. And so Saul relents, and I'm sure there was a huge victory feast, and a number of these animals then went towards making this amazing victory feast of mega burgers and kebabs and all the good things. And then also to kind of boost the Israelites' own kind of farming stock as well. God sends Samuel, his prophet and his priest. And he comes to Saul, and Saul is very proud. We read with his own achievements. He says to Samuel, yeah, look at the amazing victory. I obeyed God, went to war. Look at the amazing victory that's taken place. And Samuel, in one of the most classic Old Testament lines you will ever read, this is just a superb bit of dialogue. Do you know how sometimes there's films and there's just one line in it that you think, that's just a brilliant bit of writing, that's a brilliant bit of dialogue. And so here we get one of the most classic lines in the Old Testament as Samuel comes to Saul and he says, is that bleating I can hear? Is that a gentle mooing that I can hear? Because Saul had been disobedient. And Saul passes the buck. He says, well, it was the men. They were desperate. What could I do? Besides, he then says, they took the best and they gave it as an offering to God. So he tried to kind of put a kind of religious, spiritual slant on his disobedience. And then God says this, through Samuel. Samuel says to him, does God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. See, God just loves obedience. You can do the most spectacular thing. The biggest achievements, the kind of highlight reel stuff in your life. But Scripture says, if it's not underpinned by that baseline of a heart that just wants to obey God, then it leaves God empty. But God loves obedience. He just loves it. It excites heaven. God places a premium on simple obedience. He doesn't take it for granted like we so often do as earthly parents. He just loves obedience. God loves it. Just the simple stuff. We know our obedience isn't perfect. Goodness me. Oh, thank God it's not perfect obedience he loves. It's just when our hearts are towards him, wanting to follow and obey him, because I know my obedience is far from perfect. Why does God love it so much? Because it shows that we love him. Scripture says we can't obey God, we can't respond to him without it coming from a heart of love. It shows that his love and mercy has transformed our lives, that we should want to obey him. It shows that we trust him, that his way is best. It shows that the life of his Son through the Holy Spirit is in us, giving us grace and a desire and a power to obey him. God just loves it. He loves it when you're obedient. Just simple obedience. He loves it. And when we get it wrong, there's grace for us. But he just loves your obedience. It excites heaven. Obedience that comes from a heart that's loved by God and that response is just stirred to love him back. God is wild about it. I feel like I'm labouring the point, but I hope you're hearing the heart behind it, are you? God loves obedience. So John 15, I just want to turn to a passage that we will read through. So if you've got a Bible or a Bible app, I'd encourage you to turn to it. If you don't have, then share with someone next to you or just listen, that's fine. Okay, so it's a classic passage where Jesus is talking about what it means to remain in him and to remain close to him. I'm just going to read the first part of John 15. Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will become even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Okay, probably to many of us, a kind of really well-known passage. Talking about remaining in Jesus. It's our heart, isn't it? And it just really struck me again this week as I was reading it through, of what Jesus says the key to remaining in him is. It's obedience, isn't it? And that comes out of relationship that God brings us into. You know, Jesus is very clear about that in this passage. Remaining in Jesus, belonging to him, isn't about a kind of probationary period of obedience where we prove ourselves worthy of being kind of branches that are grafted into that vine and joined to Christ. No, we're joined to him first. That's the grace of God, isn't it? So it comes out of relationship, comes out of what we receive from God, it comes out of grace that we then can be obedient. We're chosen by Jesus. We're brought into a destiny that includes being able to follow him and obey his commands. It comes out of the new identity in Christ that we're given by God, and that desire and that grace and that power that flows from it. Jesus said, you know, that the first thing is that you're already clean because of the word of God that's in you. God cleans us and prepares us to be obedient. And only when this happens first can we then live in obedience to God. That's what Jesus is saying. But he's saying, remaining in him, the key is, it's just that same thing again. It's obedience. Now, what might Jesus have said when talking about remaining in him, staying close to him, staying in the Father's will? He could have talked about prayer. You know, we think about that sometimes, don't we? I'll stay close to God. Okay, I need to spend time in prayer. I need to spend time in his word, in the Bible, reading that if I want to stay close to God. I want to be kind of stay active, connected to his family. That's a way I can stay close to him. Worship. All those things are good. All these things are important, aren't they? But Jesus says, what does he explicitly state is the key? It's obedience to remaining in him. And of course, Jesus, he perfectly models that. He says that, doesn't he? He says, you know, obey my commands just as I've obeyed the Father. Jesus lived it out. Jesus lived out perfect obedience all the way to the cross. Jesus was obedient to the Father in a way, in a perfection and a totality that we can't come close to. God just loves obedience. And this passage is full of Jesus just saying how the Father blesses obedience. This is what he says. Some of the things he says. He says, when we remain in him through our obedience, our lives will be full of fruit. Says that in verse 5. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. The life and the blessing and goodness of God for us and for others, that's what fruit of the kingdom means. The life and the blessing and the goodness of God for us and for others. Every act of obedience in our lives produces fruit. Produces that fruit of life and God's goodness for us and for others. So fruit is a blessing from God for obedience. Jesus said, when we remain by obeying, our prayers are answered. In verse 7, wow, what an amazing promise that is. That a heart to obey God positions us in a place where we hear him more clearly and we're enabled to pray more effectively in line with his will. It's not a work-based reward, this. Jesus isn't saying, well, if you're really obedient, then God will answer some prayers. Let's see what you can rack up this week, and then we'll see how many answered prayers that equates to. It's not work-based reward, but it's grace-empowered fruit. That's what it is. Just grace-empowered, so our obedience, the response of God, just positions us in that place for God to come alongside and answer prayer. When we're obedient, God's glorified. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory. Every act of obedience brings glory to God. Do you know that? Just every simple act of obedience in your life brings glory to God. Do you know how much you bring glory to God in your life? I don't think we do, do we? Don't think we do. But your life, every simple act of obedience glorifies God. It makes God's grace visible to others. It says, showing yourselves to be my disciples as you're obedient. You show yourselves. Makes God's grace visible to all. We experience more and more of the love of God in our lives. Jesus said, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. Just opens us up to experience more and more of the love of God. Every act of obedience is just opening our hearts up to receive more of the love of God and the joy of God. Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Our relationships are transformed as we learn to walk in obedience to God. Jesus talks about loving each other. Now, if you say, well, I'm not sure, what do I do? What does God want me to do? What is living a life of obedience to God about? Well, Jesus made it very clean, very simple, didn't he? Very clear. He said, love God with all your heart and love each other. As we learn to walk in obedience, it's going to transform our relationships together. And we open our minds and lives to knowing his plans and his will more and more. What amazing blessing there is to just simple obedience of God. There's fruit, the life and the goodness of God in our lives. It's answered prayer. It's God being glorified. It's God's grace being made visible to all. It's experiencing more of God's love, more of his joy. Our relationships being transformed and our minds and our hearts being opened up for God to speak his will and his plans into our lives. God loves obedience, delights his heart, and he loves to bless it, even though it's often imperfect and it's often inconsistent in my life. That's where grace comes in. God just loves it. He delights in it. He promises all of heaven's resources to empower us to grow in it, and it unlocks amazing blessing that God's prepared for us. God loves obedience. He delights in your obedience. Every little bit, every act. Do you know that? If you remember nothing else from this morning, I just want you to remember that. That our inconsistent, imperfect obedience, it still delights the heart of God. It excites heaven. It's just the proof of God's grace at work in our lives. Hold on to that. Remember that. Let that feed your soul. So just want to talk now, just for a short while, for the rest of our time, before we pray to finish, just about, okay, where are we going as a church? About vision, just kind of remembering all that we've looked at so far, and all that God's saying about obedience. And I heard obedience, I read it this week, described as this. That obedience can be the strength to stand and the willingness to leap. Okay, obedience is the strength to stand and the willingness to leap. And then it's about the discernment of knowing which to do at any given time. I thought it was really, really helpful. So as we think about and just go over some of the things that God said to us that we're going to continue to pursue in him, let's just hold that in our hearts. There are going to be some things where God is just calling us to stand and to stand firm and not to be shifted from what he said. There are other things where obedience is going to be about being willing to take a leap. Okay? Both of those things take faith and trust. Both of those things God wants to build into us. So at the beginning of the summer term, we just shared, we had 3 weeks where we looked at our kind of vision focus for this next season of our 2020 vision. And we talked about prayer, and we talked about power, and we talked about purpose. Do you remember those things? Prayer, power, and purpose. So it's not going to be any surprise that this term for the rest of the year is going to continue to be a continuation and an extension of those things. These are the things that we feel God said to us. These are the things we feel are key, fundamental for us, that we must not let slip off the radar, that we need to keep center stage. So let's just think about those again for a moment. So prayer. Okay, we've been talking a lot this year about prayer and what God's been putting on our hearts, the emphasis that he's calling us to give ourselves in a new way, an extraordinary way perhaps, to prayer, that it's a place, a blessing for us, but it's also a place of battle. There are many things as a church that we feel we are battling to see breakthrough in, aren't they? You know, we're praying particularly for salvation, for healing, and for provision. Those are kind of three big headline things we feel we're really battling for in prayer, that God's spoken and made promises about, but that we just need to really take hold of him in an extraordinary way in prayer to see the blessing and the power of heaven released, to see those promises fulfilled. And we're kind of 4 months in to kind of our weekly Wednesdays of prayer. You know, meeting three times for an hour each Wednesday to pray and to fast and to call on God for these things. And it has been, I hope you have felt, because it certainly seems to be from those that I've spoken to, we feel this is something really significant that God is doing already in us. Amazing times of gathering to do battle and to see breakthrough, to see the wave of revival come that God has spoken to us about. It's a key kind of strategic offensive weapon that God is wanting to teach us in. We've talked about it a lot. We've preached about it a lot. I'm not going to go over all of that, but I just want to say, you know, we just want to keep obedient to God in this. And we want to keep taking a stand in this, that actually we are going to give ourselves to pray. Now, we said before the summer, if you feel like you've only got capacity for one thing outside of Sunday mornings, because we know life is busy for a lot of people, then our encouragement, our exhortation as elders to you would be, make it prayer. If you've only got time for one thing, make it prayer. Join with us on these Wednesdays. Get together. Let's press in to prayer. And for us in this next term, you know, we've said a number of times, what's the easiest thing about prayer? Giving up. The easiest thing about prayer is giving up. Okay? We want to keep momentum. We want to keep pressing in prayer. God's called us. We've had these words in our hearts. God's called us to be bold in our prayers and specific and persistent. Okay, we really need to be persistent in our praying, particularly in situations where it feels like we are waiting on tiptoe to see what the answer is going to look like. You know, we've had some wonderful answers to prayer already, amazing kind of provisions, amazing healing, just fabulous. But we're still waiting for breakthrough in lots of situations, aren't we? Okay, so we need to be persistent in this. So we just want to give ourselves to continue to pray together as a church. I have to say, for me, I feel this is just so significant, but there is a little bit of a battle for me. Because in my heart, a lot of the time I'm thinking, do you know, we really need to grow as a church. God's spoken to us that we're going to be bigger than we are. There are so many people who need to hear about Jesus, who need to come into the kingdom. There's something within me that says, oh, I want us to give all our energy into outreach. I want us to make our program all about kind of reaching out, and 'cause we need to make that happen. And I have to remind myself, actually, what's God called us to do? He's called us to pray. And in praying and in continuing to be obedient in that and put our energies and our time and our focus into that, we're trusting him. And we're saying, God, we trust you. Because God can only save people. We can't, can we? So it's about continuing to stand. Obedience in prayer, continuing to stand. We just need to continue pressing, keep momentum. How do we keep momentum? It's by personal choice. I would just exhort you and encourage you. We're not pressuring anybody, but we just feel this is the key thing that God's called us to at the moment. Come and be part of it. The invitation is come and be part of these weekly Wednesdays. Get involved. Give yourselves to praying. I know there are other ways that we can do that. We can do that in our life groups. We can do that in huddles. We do that as we gather on Sundays. We do that in encounters. But this is just the key thing for us. I believe there's great blessing for us to be had that we've only just begun to see and experience and press into. How do we keep momentum? Just encourage one another, okay? Encourage one another in prayer. If you're going to prayer on a Wednesday night, ring someone up and say, I'm going. Do you want to come with me? Let's just keep stirring and encouraging one another in it. Keep sharing our testimonies of when God answers prayer. I love, as we gather together, kind of hearing what God's doing. You know, on Sundays, on our times, on Wednesdays, it feeds our faith. It feeds our souls, doesn't it, to hear what God is doing. So we need to keep sharing testimonies. Any other kind of tools and initiatives, things that we can do to stir us in continuing to press in. Things like enough. You know, Mike's call for us as relational mission churches to continue to press into these extraordinary nights of united prayer. Let's not grow weary of these. Let's keep pressing into them, believing for more and more breakthrough and answers to come as we obey. And, I know that praying is hard. It's not easy, is it? Praying's not easy. For some of us, the challenge is just to keep going in prayer. You know, sometimes we can get weary. We can even be disappointed if we haven't seen breakthrough yet, but we just keep going. For others, actually, the obedience part is a leap of faith. It's a bit of a leap. We don't find praying easy. We kind of think, well, if I come on a Wednesday and I don't feel I'm very good at praying, am I going to look daft? Are my prayers going to sound stupid? Well, you know, of course they're not. But let's just come on together and learn to pray together. Let's come and grow together in prayer because we all need to. You know, those that pray, those kind of long, flowery prayers, they need to learn to be succinct and clear. I'll speak to myself in that. So let's come and listen. You know, pray quietly. You know, you don't have to pray out loud. If you're just learning how to pray, we learn together. It's not easy, but it's warfare. And God is teaching us, I believe, in this, something that's far bigger than just about this season, but it's going to be foundational for what he's got for us in months and years to come. So we're just going to continue to pray because there's blessing in it, because it's what God said to us. And that's where breakthrough is going to come. So we're just going to continue. How long will we always have our weekly Wednesdays of prayer? I have no idea. Will it go beyond December into 2018? Can't tell you. Will it look different? Maybe. Will it be the same? I don't know. I just know this is what God's calling us to do. And so we're going to continue to stand and be obedient in it and press into it. Because there's just so much that God wants to release into us in prayer and blessing he wants to release as we obey. Okay, moving quickly on. So prayer, power, just that desire that we press into everything that God has for us in his Holy Spirit. Being empowered in the Holy Spirit. You know, we have our encounter evenings. We're continuing to emphasize in these once a month. We're gathering together to wait on God, to ask him to continue to fill us with his Holy Spirit, just to stretch out in moving in the Spirit. You know, some time where there aren't the kind of time constraints that we have on a Sunday morning, just to drink deep of the Spirit in the context of worship and ministry. opportunity for us to be baptized and refilled and empowered, to be stirred, to step up and using the gifts, to prophesy over one another, to hear from God together. Again, if that kind of feels like out of your comfort zone, well, that's kind of out of all of our comfort zones, really, because we're entering into the realm of God doing what only God can do. And for many of us, that's kind of taking a leap, isn't it? I just want to continue with that. But not just on encounter evenings, Sunday mornings. You know, I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit when we get together on Sunday mornings. And I'm so encouraged to hear different people starting to kind of step out in that. And my heart is, you know, I want to see us as a church family just bursting with the gifts of the Spirit and the good things that the Holy Spirit wants us to give to us to help us minister to one another. Every context we get. So can I encourage you? For many of you, that will be a leap of faith. You know, that will be about obedience being willingness to take a leap. Maybe you feel like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't bring a contribution on Sunday morning. I know Marshall's encouraged us this morning, but that's for other people. No, it's not. It's for you. It's for you. Just encourage you. Encourage you. Seek God. Ask him to give you something to bring, and he will. So we're going to continue our encounter evenings. We're going to continue making kind of the Holy Spirit something we teach about, we talk about, we give opportunity to respond. Yeah, we want to emphasize, we want to think about the Holy Spirit kind of outside our times together as a church. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't only active when we get together. It's not kind of like some sort of internal trigger when three or more Christians kind of enter into a circle together and suddenly a switch flips and the Holy Spirit kind of comes out of sleep mode and he's awake, he's within us and alive and awake within us all the time, wanting to work through us in our workplace, in our friendship groups, everywhere we are. Again, there's big leaps of faith. We want to just be open to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us and stretch us in just sharing Jesus with others through his empowering. So prayer and power. Do you know, I'm always really, really interested and stirred when I hear of the things that God is saying to us as a church, him also saying to other churches. And Anne and I had some time with Gough and Angie Hope. Many of you will know Gough and Angie Hope. Gough used to lead King's Church in Norwich. He's still on the leadership team there, but he doesn't kind of lead that team anymore. But Anne and I had some time with Gough and Angie, and we're just talking about what's going on in our churches. And Gough said this, that they, as a leadership team at Norwich, made a decision at the start of the summer that the plans that they had for their program, the things that they had planned in the church for the autumn, they were going to ditch because they felt God was calling them to gather to pray and to enjoy his presence and seek the Holy Spirit together. Okay, it's not a coincidence, is it? God's saying something to his church. He doesn't just say it to one church. He says it to his churches. So I was just really encouraged by that and just want to encourage you in that. So prayer and power and purpose is the third thing, about grasping hold of everything that God has called us to as a church. There's a corporate element to that, we know. There's that kind of personal element to what God is calling us to as his children as well. Now, we're wanting to just kind of continue to be asking those questions and asking the Holy Spirit to be leading us. God, what are you calling us to? What's the purpose? What have you taken hold of me uniquely for that I can bring, that I can do? You know, this is a kind of process we've shared that we're kind of modeling as an eldership. We're examining as an eldership what God's uniquely called us to do and how we can encourage and release each other in that. And so we're sort of meeting in slightly different ways and just, yeah, wanting to be obedient to God in that. We shared before how there are a number of people in the church that over the last year or so God have been particularly speaking to with regards taking kind of new steps and stepping up in kind of areas of leadership in their lives. And so as elders and wives, we're beginning to gather with those and being very kind of intentional and specific about investing time together in creating a kind of a discipleship framework for exploring that whole question of what God's called us to and how can we grow in this. And James and Penny are just taking a lead for us in that as a team of elders and wives. But this isn't going to be just an exclusive little clique of just something that we want to do with a few couples. This is a kind of framework that we feel we can kind of create and develop that we can then kind of expand and that will serve us as a whole church. We just want to invest and see everyone in the church released into the passions and the gifts that God has given you. So we're just looking for ways to invest in that and invest in teams. This is kind of more of a long-term thing, I think. But as we go into 2018, we're going to continue to develop that, teach into that, and work as a church family with that. I think one of the byproducts of the process of asking these questions is that we're going to see new areas of ministry and outreach emerge in the church. Now, God spoke to us a few years ago about clearing the decks, about a number of activities and ministries that we have been doing as a church coming kind of to the end of their life, or that we no longer had leadership for, and God spoke about not being in a rush to fill in those gaps. Well, we've been obedient in that, but I'm excited because I'm starting to have people, just ones or twos at the moment, beginning to come to me and say, look, I feel God's stirring my heart about this. I've got this on my heart. You know, is there any possibility that we can explore maybe whether God is in this and there's something for this as a church? You know, we've had Make Lunch starting over this kind of last year. And just the kind of amazing fruit that's come from that. And I'm sure there's going to be more that God's going to lead us into. Just want to say briefly before we finish, just to commend some people. I want to commend Sonia. You know, Sonia has commended us as a church for our kind of support and love for the church family in Niche. Just feel we need to commend you, Sonia, and the church in Niche, because you have modelled something of obedience and just sticking in there with what God's called you to do. That's just wonderful. It's a privilege, and it blesses our hearts to kind of feel we've got a connection with that. And you are so on our hearts for God to continue to bring breakthrough and all that he's promised to you. Tim and Anise. You know, all of us, I'm sure, have heard their testimony, the journey God's leading them on in moving to London, the amazing ways he's spoken and confirmed that and opened the doors. And for them, at the moment, obedience is both these two things. It's strength to stand and it's a willingness to leap. Because they've got to the stage where they've done everything that they can do, they feel. And now they're waiting. You know, they're waiting for the right house to be opened up for them. Now, we know that originally they had summer 2018 in their minds. And yet they had some prophetic words brought to them about maybe it being sooner than they thought. So they've been exploring with that in mind and actually been hoping to move to London for the start of this academic year. And they've taken steps to kind of do all that they could to make that possible. Well, that's not been possible. They've just not had the accommodation open up that they need at the moment. So for them, obedience is these two things. They're willing to go. You know, they've taken these amazing steps of faith. And we've heard from God, this is where we're going. But they just need to stand in that at the moment and just be strong and trust God in that. And that's not easy. I'm sure it feels kind of vulnerable for them. So let's just continue to pray and to stand with them and to expect God to open up what he has said he's going to open up. Okay. I need to wrap it up. You know about life groups. We've got a new life group program starting, slightly smaller maybe than the previous two, because that's because we've got our weekly Wednesdays, and that's a big focus for us in our midweek program. But life groups are there. Thank you for the feedback that you gave us about those, just being very positive, but also some helpful things as we kind of plan for the future. And we've got our new program starting this month. If you haven't signed up for something, then can I encourage you to do so? Huddles, continue to huddle. These are great opportunities for us to gather and again to pray. At the end of this term, we've got Christmas. Christmas just gives us a unique opportunity to reach out into our community with the gospel, doesn't it? I think next year we're going to go really large with Christmas. This year we're going to focus on one key kind of quality event, and we'll be speaking more about that later on. So we've got Christmas at the end of this term. And just to say, on our Sundays, through the rest of this term, we're going to be preaching through Ephesians. Okay, we're just going to enjoy hearing from God in Ephesians. We've called the series New From the Inside Out because we're looking at how God's grace comes to us and transforms us from the inside out. It's going to touch on the beauty of the church, the glory of the church, just about God's plans and his purposes for us. So that's going to be exciting as we go through that. But it's going to continue to be about prayer, about seeking God for his power, and about seeking God for what his purposes are for us. What has God called us to do? And in it all, we just want to be obedient, don't we? Because God loves obedience, and he blesses obedience. Sometimes it's about the strength to stand and to keep going. Sometimes it's about a willingness to leap and to take that leap of faith. But God loves it, and God's going to bless it. If we're obedient to God, we cannot go wrong. Yeah. May not always look like we've imagined, and the blessing that we're hoping for may not always come in the time scale that we imagine it will, but we cannot go wrong with being obedient to God. It just excites heaven. Our inconsistent, yes, imperfect, yes, obedience just excites God's heart. And his promise is, if we don't give up in doing good, we'll reap the harvest. That's his promise. So let's pray. Let's pray together as we finish our time. Okay, in a couple of minutes, going to encourage you, as it's nearly 10 past, if you've got children in the children's work, if you could go and collect them. Thank those who've served them. But let's stand. You've sat down for a long time. Okay, in a moment, we're just going to, those that would like to, gather around Sonia, and we're going to pray for Niche and the church there. We're going to gather around Eva, pray for Eva as she goes down to London. We're going to gather around Cameron and pray for Cameron as he goes to university. We are going to get, Roger's still here. If you want to gather around Roger, pray for Beryl. But let's just close our eyes. Let's just set our heart to God. Lord, thank you that we are not our own, but we're yours. Thank you, Lord, that we are your treasured possession. Saved, adopted, brought into your family and your glorious plans and purposes, into relationship with you, Lord, that fills our lives in a way that nothing else can, because it's what we're made for. It's what you saved us for. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness to us. Lord, you know our hearts. We want to follow you with everything that we have. Lord, you know we feel like we don't do a great job of that a lot of the time. I thank you for your grace to us. I thank you, Lord, that you love our hearts that want to follow after you. Thank you that you delight in every step of obedience. Lord, every simple act of obedience, thank you that it thrills your heart and it releases your blessing. Lord, thank you. We don't deserve that, but it's your grace and your love for us. Just for a moment, let's just think individually. Where's God calling me to take a leap of faith in obedience? Or where's God calling me to just stand firm and keep persevering in obedience? Okay, it's not something we need to just rack our brains about. I'm sure if there are things in your life, you know, you'll just know that. And I just encourage you to bring those to God now. And to ask for his help. Lord, thank you that your plans for us are to do us good. They are to bring your kingdom in. Lord, they are to release your blessing and your power. Lord, for our blessing and for others' blessing, Lord, that's what we long for. We want your kingdom to come. Thank you, Lord. You love this church. You love us. Do you have good things planned for us? Oh, we just want to be obedient. Press into you. Thank you, Lord.